Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would like to hear from you right now. The lines are open, and we invite your call to 844-322-2742. The general subject this month is worship. If you have a question about true worship, or if perhaps you'd like to pose some other topic for discussion, well, we'd love to have a call from you right now. The lines are wide open, plenty of time on the clock because we've just started. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're asking the question today, what are some obstacles to true and genuine worship from believers? And we talked about one yesterday, but we're going to bring it up again today. It's in Hebrews chapter 10. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. So in the old covenant, they couldn't really draw near to worship the one true God. As a matter of fact, they were fearful. And the reason they were fearful to do so is because the sin issue had not been dealt with once and for all. And as we bring that forward to the 21st century, there's a lot of people in our world today that are fearful to draw near to God in perfect worship because they do not know that their sins have been dealt with once and for all. So that becomes this big wall that separates them from God. It's not a wall from God's vantage point, and it's not a real wall. It's something that we've erected in our minds and in our thoughts. And once we come to grips with what Christ has done for us through his shed blood on the cross, that our sins have been taken away once and for all, that frees us to actually draw near to God in perfect worship. And so we need to tear down this obstacle, as Reagan said to Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Yeah. And for believers out there who are fearful of drawing near to God, you need to tear down that wall because it really isn't there. God has removed all obstacles. You are free to draw near to God in perfect worship. Why? Because your sins have been dealt with once and for all, and you have been totally cleansed of all unrighteousness. So allow the blood of Christ to give you the confidence to enter in. And that's the conclusion he draws in this great chapter, starting in verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is that river of confidence that flows us into the most holy place whereby we can worship God from a pure and clean heart. That's the good news of the gospel. And so, you know, part of proclaiming it, of announcing this good news, is to help tear down those walls that people have built up around them. And we see that all the time, don't we, Andrew and Richard?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's day after day and month after month we get the same questions about forgiveness, and it's like it's just too hard for us to believe. I had a gentleman who was talking with me the other day, and he said, you know, I'm so excited about what you're saying, and it would be so exciting if it were true that we're forgiven of all of our sins. And, you know, it just makes you stop dead in your tracks and say, well, wait a minute, isn't the gospel exciting? I mean, you know, is it possible that the gospel is less exciting than we thought? You know, and we have to ask ourselves, when Jesus said the truth will set us free, isn't freedom freeing, and isn't freedom real, and how freeing is freedom? I mean, we gotta let the gospel speak for itself and let the blood of Jesus speak for itself, because there is something incredible that has been done here. And when we say, oh, I'm only forgiven for my confessed sins, or I'm only forgiven for my past sins, or I'm only forgiven for my sins if I don't commit too many, or I'm only forgiven for my sins, you know, if they're not too big, or whatever, we start playing that game, and the excitement dwindles, and the good news becomes mediocre news. And the reality is, it's great news. It's not just good, it's great, and it is exciting. And so we need to allow the gospel to speak clearly into our lives and allow the blood of Christ to stand on its own for what it is. And the forgiveness that we have is total and complete and all-encompassing, past, present, and future. And because of that, Bob, we can have this incredible confidence with God, and we're not walking on eggshells. In fact, we've got a perfect relationship with him because he's rigged it. He set it up that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you were talking, something came to mind that, you know, we see a lot of Christians out there, and the good news, as you said, is just mediocre news. And I think because the object of worship is wrong. So, you know, we're talking about being cleansed once and for all by the blood of Jesus. Well, if we're not sure the blood of Jesus has cleansed us, we're going to worship those things that we think will bring cleansing to us. So for many people, it's their ritual, whatever they do after they've sinned. If it's, you know, pray three times, if it's to offer up promises, if it's to beg, if it's to go to a confession booth, those become objects of worship. Why? Because you think and believe in your heart those are the things that are going to be bring cleansing, but you're never confident that they do. You're never sure of that. So we have to realize that cleansing only comes through the shed blood of Christ. There's no other cleansing agent out there that can rid us of the stain of sin. Only the blood of Christ can do that. So if we'll recognize that, then our hearts will be in the right place, worshiping the right person. Otherwise, you're going to be worshiping religious things, and those become obstacles to real worship. So we need to get this straight, don't we? That
yeah.
Jesus has cleansed us once and for all, and as you say, Andrew, that draws us close. We are clean and close to our living Savior because of the blood of Christ.
Absolutely. And for those of you who are listening today, we would love to hear from you. If you have a question or an observation about true worship, give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. Calls beginning to come in already, but still plenty of open lines, 844-322-2742. Short question for you. How often do you use YouTube? Try to say that fast. Well, you know, YouTube has become the one-stop shop to learn how to do just about anything, and we think it's a great way to share the gospel as well. Currently, you can access the video archive of our Friday study sessions when you visit youtube.com/basicgospel. We're also laying the groundwork to begin producing short, powerful videos to encourage you, your family, and friends in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. To view the current programming and to ensure getting all updates as they're added, simply subscribe to the Basic Gospel channel at youtube.com/basicgospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go out to Livermore, California, and talk with our good friend William. Hi, William.
Hi, Bob. I was calling in response to your question, what keeps us from worshiping God? And I agree wholeheartedly that the primary obstacle is not understanding that we are forgiven of all of our sins, that God's not counting them against us. And I say that because if worship is offering our body for Jesus to will enact through, we're not available for that if we're concentrating all of our efforts on cleaning up our own act.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, William, that's a great thought, a good insight, because we would be preoccupied, as Bob was describing earlier. I mean, you just can't, you can't really say, Lord, I'm here and I'm available if you're simultaneously saying, Lord, I'm unqualified. Lord, I'm here and I'm available, but Lord, I'm dirty and distant and unforgiven. Those two things don't even go together. And so, you know, when Christians, it's interesting, we often get the question, well, you know, what should we do with our prayer lives? I mean, if I don't have to beg and plead and hope and wait for God to forgive me, then what in the world am I going to pray about? And I guess the answer to that would be something like, well, other people, maybe. You know, I can start thinking about loving others and serving others, and I can also give thanks instead of begging for what I've already got. I can give thanks to the Lord. So, Yeah, I mean, you know, if people out there, William, if they don't understand what we're talking about yet, I mean, let's worship what Jesus did. I mean, let's honor what Jesus did on the cross. Let's worship the Lord Jesus Christ by bragging on all that he accomplished. The focus is not on, hey, you know, I don't have to ask forgiveness all the time. I mean, that's nice, but the real focus is, look at what Jesus did do, and look at how all-encompassing it is. Look at how amazing it is. So let's honor him, and as you say, William, let's worship him, because we're already qualified. He qualified us. We're already forgiven. He forgave us. We're already cleansed. He cleansed us. So now we can put our eyes where they belong, right there on Jesus Christ, huh?
Yeah.
And along those lines, I think it was yesterday, Bob fielded a call from a woman who asked a very common question in regards to the statement Jesus made in Matthew, that if you do not forgive your brother here on earth, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. Hmm. And as long as you're thinking along those lines, you know, I understand that that was our condition before the cross of Jesus Christ. It was a true enough statement when it was made, but that all changed at the cross when we were forgiven once and for all. But yeah, if you're pursuing that that goal to forgive all of those around you in order to get forgiven, you're still not accepting that you are forgiven.
Yeah, let me jump in, because I think an important point is kind of surfacing here. When you look at the sacrificial system, what was required of the sacrifice of the animal? It had to be unblemished. There could be no defect. And some of the times that God was most harsh on Israel was when the priests were trying to figure out a loophole to get around that. Yeah. They were offering the worst of the herd instead of the best. So it was an unblemished sacrifice that was necessary. So, William, you were talking about Romans 12:2, the fact that we are to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. Well, for that to take place, we have to be unblemished. So if we're back there in that old covenant and we're thinking we can only be forgiven if we're forgiving others, then what we're saying about ourselves is that we're still blemished. But through the shed blood of Christ, we stand before God holy, acceptable, unblemished. So we have the ultimate freedom to offer ourselves to the Lord and allow him to use us. And that is because the shed blood of Christ. So, William, I think, as Andrew was saying, you are so insightful here, and we appreciate you weighing in on this topic and bringing your insights to the table. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I praise God for the message, and I truly hope that we are being used at this moment to open the eyes of many people out there who are unduly burdened, and that they are set free so that they can serve the living God. Thanks again.
Well, thank you, William. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
We do indeed. And friends, if you would like to call and add something to the conversation on the subject of worship, we'd love to hear from you right now. 844-322-2742.
Let's go talk to our friend Brad in O'Fallon, Missouri. Hi, Brad.
Hey, Brad.
How you doing? I left a message for you before on the phone number, which kind of leads, and you guys are so spot on, and I thank William for his insight. I've spoken to people about William and what he said on the broadcast. I agree. The problem with forgiveness is base, but even once people come into Christ, and I kind of blame this on you all, including Andrew, I've received insight about the importance, and I believed this before because God's been building on it, but I look at the New Testament, not so much the gospel accounts, but a lot of problem comes with what are spoken in the letters and the epistles. And people tend not to read that part of Scripture as actually that whole intention is God's view of us. If you read it really carefully, you will come to see God's view. But even up on that, the new creation and new identity that God has made us, and the closeness that we have continually, and the fact that we're in Jesus Christ in the very fabric of his body, and he's worshiping the Father even now, 24/7 in space and time. And because we're in union with him, there's no fault in the new creation, because it's led by the Spirit of God. So technically, in Christ, whether we know it or not, the body of Christ, because of what Jesus does, is in constant worship mode. And when we're in the Spirit and allowing God to be God walking in and through us, that's an act of worship. Just saying, God, I believe you, and you have my life. You've cleansed me. I'm acceptable. And I give my body to you by entering your rest and ceasing from my own effort.
Well, Brad, let us jump in there and talk about what you're talking about. And, you know, forgiveness is the thing that opens this door to life, opens this door to really being a new creature in Christ. And as we walk by faith, I think that's what Brad was saying, is that is an act of worship, isn't it? Because that, yes, that involves our heart. We are trusting the Lord with our heart. We're being obedient from the heart. It's what God is doing inside of us. So that becomes an act of worship. Sometimes we give in to the desires of the flesh. Well, when we do, that's not an act of worship. That's something different. But worshiping the one true God, that life of faith, and I think those two really go hand in glove one with another, enables us to really live out this life that we have in Christ to the full, and experience ultimate joy, ultimate peace, all of those things that are the fruit of the Spirit. So, Brad, we sure appreciate your comments on this, and bringing it back to the fact that the shed blood of Jesus was for a purpose, more so than just cleansing us, but to enable us to really live in this new covenant as children of God.
Yeah. You know, a thought I had, guys, is that, you know, worship is not really what we're doing. Worship is where we're looking as we do it. In other words, really almost anything out there can be an act of worship, anything except sin, of course. But my point is that as I offer myself to Christ in every moment, the indwelling Christ, well, we're saying that's worship. So I could be washing the dishes, I could be taking the kids to school, I could be doing any sort of thing. It's, you know, some people have sort of hemmed worship in a corner, so to speak, and said, as we've often been talking lately, you know, worship is not just the 22 minutes of songs that we sing on Sunday. So worship is not really about what I'm doing, it's about where I'm looking as I do it. And so as we fix our eyes on Jesus, you know, a whole lot of things become worship. And that's what we're saying. And I hope people are really capturing that idea, because it's exciting. I mean, worship becomes compatible with my whole day. Worship becomes compatible with every category of my life, because Jesus is compatible with every category of my life. And, you know, Bob, what you were saying earlier about the lamb not having a blemish, it reminded me of Ephesians 5, where it says that we, the church, have been presented to God as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but instead we're holy and blameless, not dirty and sinful. That's Ephesians 5:27 really announces that. And we need to know we're spotless, we need to know we're blameless, but we also need to know that worship is all day long. And I think that revolutionizes our thinking, that worship is all day long.
Yeah, that's why some have called the cross a revolution. I mean, it was the beginning of a revolution, and certainly that's true of us who know Jesus. A revolution has started inside of us. We've escaped the old, and we're in the new. And because of the shed blood of Christ, we're experiencing something, you know, beyond our wildest imaginations. Bob?
Well, we had an email question from Alfred. He says, are believers still expected to observe and honor the Lord with first fruit offerings today?
Good question, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think the idea behind that was to give your best to the Lord. And, of course, in the Old Testament perspective was bring this offering to the Lord. And, you know, there were tithes and there were grain offerings and there were all kinds of sacrifices and offerings made under the law with its 613 regulations. And the idea of first fruits, the idea was, you know, don't bring something sorry to the Lord. Don't bring your worst to the Lord, but instead bring your best. And you know, Bob was even alluding to that earlier, even with the lamb, the bull, the goat, the idea that had to be without blemish. It wasn't the worst of your flock, it was the best. And so, you know, all of that is very noble and sounds very good until we realize that on this side of the cross, being under grace and not being under law, again, the offering is us. The offering is our bodies. The offering is not a particular amount of money. It's not a lamb. It's not a bull. It's not a goat. It's not a crop. It is us and our bodies. And so in that sense, you know, we are bringing the best because God has made us best. God has made us new. He's made us lovable to him and likable. We're a fragrant aroma to him. So, you know, it's an interesting question because we have to look at what we offer God now and realize it's been radically changed. It's not about money. It's about the heart behind the giving of money. It's not about the service. It's about the heart behind the service. And so at the core, what we're offering is ourselves, our time, our bodies, who we are. We're offering that to God in every moment.
Yeah, there were a lot of Israelites who were offering that first fruit as the law commanded them to do. And I guarantee you their hearts were not in that.
No.
So
yeah.
Even though they were satisfying the letter of the law, they missed the spirit of it. And in so doing, they missed the true worship behind it and the true joy in giving to really participate in what God was doing. In this new covenant, God has guaranteed that our hearts are going to be a part of this deal. Why? Because he has reached into our hearts and changed them. He has circumcised our hearts in such a way that they are responsive and receptive and fluid with God's way and God's will. And that wasn't true in the old covenant, but it's true in the new. And because it's true in the new, when we give, our hearts are involved in it. And that's where the real joy comes from. And that's as we start to experience that joy, we're going to want to give more, be eager to give more, because that joy is something that transcends kind of human experience. You know, it's a God thing that happens inside of you. And you say, hey, I want to have more of that. And so you let your heart be involved. And as it is, you see that joy just multiplied over and over, because that's really a fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of his work in and through you. So this has been a great discussion today on worship and how it really gets to the heart of an individual. And that's what's so important to God. You know, the world looks at the outside. God looks at the heart. That's what matters. And through faith in Jesus, our hearts have been made right, have been turned toward him so that we can truly and genuinely worship him.
You know, for many people, YouTube has become a go-to resource to learn how to do or fix just about anything. So our question is, why not use YouTube as a go-to resource to learn how to walk by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? You can currently view the Basic Gospel Friday study series, and in the near future, we'll begin to add powerful short-form videos to communicate the love, grace, and life of Jesus Christ. To view the current archive and to receive automatic updates, subscribe to the Basic Gospel channel at youtube.com/basicgospel. Again, that's youtube.com/basicgospel. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, Andrew Farley, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.